Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Intelligent Ball Lightning by Lexter. My grandma died from cancer, but before she passed away, she spent quite a few days telling us and the grandchildren stories of her past. She had a few supernatural experiences, but this one intrigued me the most. When she was a 12-year-old girl, she said she experienced a ball lightning shoot through her small adobe house in the middle of rural Mexico. Her house was made of two rooms with a dirt floor. One was the kitchen slash living room and the other was a bedroom. There was a hallway connecting both rooms, and the only doors were the front screen door and the back door. Back then, they didn't have any glass windows in their houses, just square holes with curtains covering them. My grandma always made sure to tell us how beautiful the sky would be at all hours. She lived on a ranch, far from any cities or a lot of light pollution. She went on to say that on a strong stormy night, she and her mother were lying in bed in the bedroom. The bed was on the floor, and a window hole was about 3 feet above their heads. She remembers wiggling her toes and talking to her mother about the baby chicks that had just hatched. All of a sudden, it went very quiet, almost scary, when it had been thundering before. Then the room that she and her mom were in suddenly got so bright that all she saw was white for a second. Then a blue static ball of lightning shot through the window above their heads, burned their toes, made a sharp right turn, then a left, then went down the hall, turned left, and shot through the screen door. My grandma ran through that back door and witnessed the blue ball of lightning move around the outdoor bathroom, then sink slowly into the ground. As soon as the ball dispersed into the ground, the storm raged with rain and lightning. My grandmother and her mother could not sleep that night. Does anyone else have any experience with ball lightning? Or something similar?
Lighting Candles by Anonymous. I grew up in a small three-bedroom home, but I at least had my own room. However, something weird would often happen, especially whenever I was in distress. I would sleepwalk and wake up in this spare bedroom. About a year after my grandpa passed away, I got really upset when I realized I couldn't remember what his voice sounded like. I cried myself to sleep, and at some point, a strange noise suddenly woke me. Then I once again woke up in the spare bedroom. I don't even remember what the noise was from, but what really alerted me was when I then felt someone sitting on my bed. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I completely froze. Strangely, though, I wasn't scared, just hyper-aware that something was happening. Then, miraculously, I heard the now unmistakable sound of my grandpa's voice. He said, "It's only me, you daft bugger. You're fine." I can't describe the feeling that followed. It was like the air suddenly changed, and my hyper-awareness confirmed that I wasn't alone. And just like that, the energy in the room returned to normal, and I drifted back off to sleep, feeling loved and at peace. But when I woke up the next morning, I told myself it all must have just been a dream. Then I noticed something. My grandpa's trademark walking stick was propped up against the door. The door opened into the room. There was no way my parents could have positioned it where it was. But still, I asked them about it, and they were genuinely confused. The walking stick had been in another room storage closet for a while. We'd all forgotten it was even in there. I believe my grandpa visited me that night, and it was his way of letting me know that he's still with us. Even if it was just a dream, or if I sleepwalked and got the walking stick myself, I was at least able to hear his voice again, and nothing can take that away from me. I won't forget what it sounds like again. Now for some experiences as an adult. Shortly before I gave birth to my first son, we moved into our first home. Odd things started to happen in the house, and I genuinely thought I was losing my mind. As most parents know, trying to clean and tidy a house with a toddler in tow is like cleaning your teeth with Oreos, so it became a routine after my baby went to sleep. I'd usually stay up getting everything done, only to start all over again the next day. At the time, we had a border collie named Theo. Theo started to act strangely whenever he was anywhere near the stairs. He would only go upstairs if someone else was with him, and would always avoid the middle part of the first few steps. It got worse. He started running as close to the wall as he could, and then eventually outright refused to go upstairs at all. He would still howl all night if I left him downstairs, so I had to get used to carrying him. I figured he was just getting adjusted to the new house, or it was just one of his quirks. He adored his new baby brother, though, and usually wanted to sleep next to his cot. At first, I didn't allow it, because I didn't want him to disturb my baby, but he would spend so much time pacing up and down outside his room that I let him. After that, there were no more issues with Theo. Other strange stuff would happen, and I really thought I was losing my mind. Keys would go missing. I kept finding the toiletries on the bathroom shelf upside down. I meticulously cleaned and tidied the kitchen before bed every evening, and would often find several cabinet doors wide open the next morning. I chalked it up to sleep deprivation. I'd sometimes wake up to find small, tidy little pieces of salt or sugar next to the sink. I never tasted it to find out. My son's toys would make noises, even after I confirmed I had turned off the bottom switch or removed the batteries. I started to realize that there must be a paranormal reason for all of this. Here's the thing, though. I didn't feel frightened or threatened in any way, and I didn't get that goosebumps feeling I had years before when my grandpa visited me. I was just getting frustrated because my husband thought I was losing it, either doing all these things myself or making it up in my head. But things only started to happen more frequently. Faucets would turn on, even though I remember twisting them tightly shut. The chairs in the dining room would be pulled away from the table every morning, but only by a few inches. And day by day, if I didn't push them back in, they'd gradually move farther back until eventually ending up in the middle of the room. I was worried even more now, about my son and Theo. My son was around a year old. I watched him over the video monitors many times as he'd stand up in his crib and hold onto the bars, staring silently at the wall for hours. This freaked me out so much. Theo must have known something was up, because he refused to leave his baby brother alone at night and would get really stressed if I asked him to come to our room instead. Then the footsteps started, and that's what really scared me. Everybody would be asleep, and I'd hear heavy, clomping footsteps going up and down the stairs. Theo was getting more stressed, and had now even started to growl at the spots on the stairs he would avoid. One night, there was a huge crash downstairs, like the TV had fallen off the stand, or a bookcase had tipped over or something. But when my husband went downstairs, nothing was amiss at all. Since he had heard the noise too, he finally started to believe me. The morning after that loud crash, I talked to my stepdad about everything. He's an extremely sensible person, and rather skeptical about these kinds of things. I figured he'd put my mind at ease. But to my surprise, he got very quiet. He suggested I go to the part of the house with the most activity, then talk to whoever or whatever was there, and politely ask it to stop. I was very surprised by his reaction and response. He even looked a little embarrassed, and before I could ask him more about it, he muttered something about his mother having a similar problem years ago, and he changed the subject. So that night, feeling really silly, I went to the stairs and sat on the steps that Theo would avoid. I just started talking to thin air. Something like, "Hi, I know you're here and I want you to know that you're welcome. And I hope we're welcome too. But I'm starting to get a bit frightened and so is my dog." As I was just chatting away, my husband walked out to the top of the stairs and asked who I was talking to. I just casually told him, "I'm talking with the ghost." The alarm on his face, as if it was the most normal thing in the world to be having a conversation with thin air. I thought he'd be fitting me for a straitjacket soon. I wrapped things up by telling the ghosts that they were very welcome, and that I'd light a candle in the kitchen to let them know they're on my mind, and they're not forgotten. Everything stopped. No more noises or piles of salt. Things stopped going missing, and the chairs stayed where I left them. No more open cabinets. No more loud footsteps on the stairs. Then the shocker. When I came home the next day, Theo was sitting on the stairs, happily waiting to greet me, the same spot he would always so fearfully avoid. He's been fine around the stairs ever since. I stuck to my promise with the candle, lighting it most nights. It became a habit, and sometimes I'd find myself chatting out loud when I lit them. I told the ghost I didn't mind the little salt piles, if they ever want to say hi. I'd get a little pile once every few weeks. We moved out about a year after, and I always wonder if the new owners ever had similar experiences. Both experiences have taught me that not all paranormal activity has to be scary. The unknown can be frightening, but I never truly felt threatened, at least not until the night of the big crash. But even then, it felt like whatever it was just getting angry about not being acknowledged. It's been 11 years. Nothing strange has happened in our new home, but I still light a candle for my old friend every now and then.
Years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
The following story contains references to hunting and animal death. Listener discretion is advised. Green Eyes by Eugene. I have a story from my youth that only my two friends have ever believed, which I would like to share. I can send you the exact locations of where this incident occurred. I was very familiar with the area, having grown up in Grants, New Mexico, near a dormant volcano named Mount Taylor. One of my best friends, Chad, lived up in the mountains. After we all got our driver's license, I became close with my friends Chad and Chris. It was the fall of 1998. I remember because it was during football season, and this incident led me to eventually move in with my father. The day prior, Chris had installed a radio in Chad's truck, an old green Ford Monster. I believe it was from the 1960s. The fenders were always rusting off, and we had made many repairs over the years. Apparently, Chris messed up the installation and the truck caught fire. It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't drivable. We planned on going what we called bunny thumping. There were hundreds of jackrabbits, and we would go spotlighting and shooting them. We would usually meet up at Chad's house because it was near the area that we would go to. I rode with Chris because the road up to Chad's house was rough, and I had a 1985 Camaro that I had just washed. I didn't want to get it dirty in the gravel and on the dirt roads. When we got to Chad's, he was there but was borrowing his Aunt Sherry's truck and didn't have a key to his house to get the guns. Chad had a cell phone, so we called Chad's friend David to come and bring some guns. He had loads of them. So, a half hour later, David shows up with his cousin, whose name I don't remember. The sun was still up when we left. We decided to go to David's old O.J. Simpson lookalike Bronco. I grabbed a 12-gauge, but I don't remember what gun Chris grabbed. I think it was a 22 rifle. As we started down the road that handrailed the mesa north of town, a rattlesnake was in the middle of the road, and David and his cousin jumped out to shoot it. Part of the snake flew up about 10 feet into a tree. Chris and I were concerned with how reckless these new guys were. We rode with them for another 5 minutes or so. Chris and I decided to get out and walk down the road that went up the side of the mesa on the backside of an old mine, away from those crazy guys. We told them that once it got dark, we would walk back to the road and we would shoot the guns if we needed them. Chris and I walked for over an hour or so before we decided to start walking back. I had to be home by 10. I remember we started shooting for them to come and get us later, but we could tell that they were chasing rabbits by how the truck was moving through the open plain where they were. We had walked up some roads on the side of the mesa, and we could see them now. My time to be home was getting closer, and Chris and I decided to just walk back to Chad's. They were ignoring our shots. We were walking for a few minutes, and the sun was down, but the moon was pretty bright that night. As we were walking on the south side of the road, about 15 to 20 meters away from the tree line, I saw these small green eyes about 1 foot or so off of the ground. Chris saw them too. I don't remember what exactly he said to me, but he obviously saw it. We both took off running as fast as we could. We ran for a good half mile or so. We then started giving each other crap for being scared. Trying to act tough, I said something to the effect of, if we saw them again, I would blast it with the shotgun. I still regret those words. Not too far away, we got to an area known as the Oaks. It was a party spot for high schoolers in previous generations. It's distinguishable from other areas due to the thick oaks that grow there in contrast to the spine and pinyon trees that dominate the region. Sure as shit, we saw those eyes again. I don't remember his exact words, but he called my bluff, and his phrase was something like, "Go shoot it, tough guy." I was focused on those damn eyes as I slowly approached, staring down the barrel of the pump-action shotgun. They were small, and again, about 1 foot off of the ground. They were about 2 inches apart, and about the size of a fingernail. I couldn't make out the shapes too well because they glowed so much, like when a laser hits something metallic and it scatters and breaks it up. I slowly approached as I walked through the sand, just off the dirt road. I got about 10 feet away, and I was trying to see what it was before I squeezed the trigger. We were in the thick oaks, and the moonlight was non-existent. I couldn't make out an outline whatsoever. I knew that it was something alive. I could see the eyes begin to squint. Then, the eyes started to close, and I squeezed the trigger at that exact instant. When a shotgun blast hits an animal, it usually makes a hollow sound. I didn't hear it hit anything but the ground through the ringing in my ears. As soon as I shot, I swear that the object moved, like it teleported 4 feet to the left. We sprinted for about a mile, and we were already on the main road back to Chad's house to retrieve Chris's car when Chad and the other two caught up with us. We tried to tell them about it on the 3-minute ride back to Chad's house, but they didn't believe us. At this point, I was already going to be late for curfew. I told Chris to take me home because my mom was very strict and I was going to be in deep trouble. But instead, Chris drove back to the Oaks. Chad, David, and his cousin followed us. We put the headlights in the spot where we saw the eyes. You could see my footprints in the sand where I walked towards it. You could also see where my round impacted. What none of us could see were any footprints from the creature. There was no blood. It was like it was never there. I chugged a Gatorade and ate Doritos on the ride home. I had bought them at Allsup's on the way up. We had bought them for the ride. When I got home, my mom was pissed. She was convinced that we were out drinking and that I ate Doritos to hide the smell. I know it makes no sense. Doritos wouldn't hide the smell of beer or liquor. We hadn't drunk alcohol or done any drugs. She took my car away and grounded me. 2 days later, I moved in with my dad because she still didn't believe me or Chris. Chad eventually came to believe us after a while. We continued bunny thumping in that area for another 4 years or so, until I left to join the army full time. We never saw anything like it again. We also never split the group up again. I know I mentioned it looked like a laser, but green ones were not something that you could easily buy at the time. I saw it walk or move behind trees before our initial sprint, though. That would have been impossible because of the trees in that area. I could also see the eyes squint when I got closer. They were almond-shaped for the most part. I hope you enjoyed the story. Chad and I aren't as close as we used to be, but he can verify most of it. Chris and I haven't seen each other since 2007, but I still text him on his birthdays. Thank you.
I Saw a Ghost in My House by Liwi 808. This happened quite a few years ago, but I can still remember it like it was yesterday. This wasn't something I saw out of the corner of my eye for a split second, or from super far away. I actually saw a ghost up close and personal for a solid 5 to 6 seconds, which, when you're seeing a ghost, seems like an eternity. I was lying on my couch at night when all of a sudden, I saw a spectral male figure made of blue light emerge from around the corner of my hallway and start walking toward me. He also appeared transparent. He couldn't have been more than 10 to 15 feet away from me. I was completely floored, perplexed, amazed, shocked, all at the same time. He appeared in such great detail that I could even tell what type of clothing he was wearing. It was some type of military garment. He was a young Asian male in his 20s. He had a stoic, somber look on his face, almost sad. As he walked towards me, he left a trail of undulating blue light behind him that kind of waved up and down. This lasted for a solid 5 or 6 seconds. The entire time, my eyes were completely wide open, and I could feel my heart starting to race. And as quickly as he appeared, he slowly vanished into thin air as he stepped closer to me. I've never seen anything like it before in my life, and I doubt I'll ever see anything like it ever again. My family brushes off my experience as just having a vivid imagination, but it's like, no, I know what I saw. There's no way what I saw wasn't real. I've never believed in ghosts before, thinking that anyone who does has to be certified crazy. But after that night, I truly believe in ghosts and some sort of afterlife. For some reason, I didn't feel scared when I saw him, or even after. The primary emotion I felt was pure amazement. I was absolutely bewildered. Am I crazy? Has anyone seen anything similar?
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
World War II era Singing Soldiers by William. I just want to start off by saying that I was not a firm believer in the paranormal until now. A few weeks ago, we were in Belgium, taking a battle tour of the Battle of Bulge. Note that this was very deep in the forest. I was with my girlfriend Alyssa at the time, and we were with our tour guide named Liam. We were deep in the forest when we came across a large crater, most likely caused by a huge mortar attack. When we approached the crater, excited, I started talking with the tour guide to find out what type of mortars were used when Alyssa told me to shut up and listen. When I stopped talking, I heard it. Singing. It was deep singing, and it was in German. It was so many voices singing together. It sounded like a choir. I immediately started recording on my phone, but it didn't capture the sound due to how faint and quiet it was. After about 2 minutes of this deep singing, it stopped. I was flabbergasted at what I had just heard. Our tour guide, however, wasn't surprised. He said that the soldiers used to sing a song named Erika, and it was very popular for the morale back then in World War II. I immediately had goosebumps all over, and we decided to leave since this was so deep in the woods. On our way back to Belgium, I did some research on the song and its relation to the Battle of Bulge. I found out that there was a German outpost right near the crater where we were, and at that German outpost, every day and night, the soldiers would sing the song Erika to boost morale and keep brave during the cold winters. Maybe the soldiers just wanted to be remembered or stand out from the others.
A Creepy Story by Sue Linda Lee. Back when I was a kid, my family and I lived in a pretty old house in Tennessee. It was built in the 1920s, I believe. I used to have recurring sleep paralysis experiences featuring a tall man with a hat walking down the hallway to my bedroom door, but I would always wake up by the time he got to my room. Textbook sleep paralysis story. There was a lot more to that house, though. During the summer, my mom would leave me and my three siblings home alone while she worked. She would come home tired and didn't like us immediately stampeding her when she arrived. One day, my siblings and I were all watching TV in the living room, just doing the usual. We heard our mom getting home early, and we were really happy about that. We heard the back door open as usual, and then she walked in while talking on the phone with her friend. She always wore these black leather boots, and we could hear their familiar clunking on the floor while she walked and talked towards us. She was finally almost to the living room. We could hear her at the end of the hallway, actually in the same spot I'd always see that tall man. When we got up to greet her, though, she wasn't there. We were all stunned. My sister called her, and you guessed it, she was still at work. I didn't tell my brother about the shadow man before, but when I did, he said he had seen him in the bathroom, which was in that same hallway. Even my mom said she used to hear my little brother calling her name when he wasn't home. I hated that house.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I can remember hearing about ball lightning for the first time on this episode of Mysterious Universe like 15 years ago. And I remember thinking, why do they keep saying it like that? Is this some kind of regional thing exclusive to Australia? Why are they saying ball lightning?
Yeah, whatever it is, I've heard similar stories. One was sent to us a while ago, but it was only like 5 sentences long, so it didn't make it onto the show. I'll have to try to find it now, but you're right, that's so weird.
Yeah, that's true. We do get a lot of like 5-sentence stories that we can't really include.
Yeah.
But please do look for it.
For sure, for sure. You're right, though. It just, the wording doesn't sound right. It seems like it should be ball of lightning or even just lightning ball. That sounds cool.
Lightning ball is perfect. Yeah, it seems like some weird glitch in the simulation and we all just accepted it. Yeah, ball lightning. That's what it is.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like how the abbreviation for the GameCube is GCN instead of NGC.
What? That's real?
Yeah, you probably didn't
realize
that.
No, wait, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking about it, and we just went along with it. We just accepted that. That's so weird, yeah. Huh.
Just like we accept Walt Disney's D isn't a backwards G.
Yeah, that always bothered me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For any listeners who aren't familiar or were just asking the same question about ball lightning, it's similar to how it was described in the story this week.
Yeah, and science has like absolutely no definitive explanation of ball lightning or if it actually exists.
Yeah, what is love? Does love exist? But I mean, like, how would science even account for an intelligent ball lightning like what we heard about in the story? It basically respected the rules of physics and just came through the window and then silently went out through the door, not to mention burning their toes in the process. It sounded like a real thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I learned recently that you do not want to sleep near a window during a lightning storm.
Why is that? Was there a count not too far out there? Can lightning just zigzag at an angle and get you through the window?
Yes. There are like multiple instances of lightning just swooping into someone's room and striking them. I was talking with my friend Kadra from the Perplexity podcast recently, and she was telling me about this person named Greta Alexander. They're a well-known psychic, and they got their X-Men powers from when she was struck by lightning, and it came through her window. She ended up surviving along with the baby that she was pregnant with, and they were perfectly fine.
So I know it's not lightning, obviously, because it's a beanstalk, but when I have the visual of lightning bolts navigating through a window and into somebody's bedroom, I think of Mickey and the Beanstalk when the beanstalk just overtakes that house and it just consumes it like thorns. But that's the visual I got when I was thinking of the ball lightning creeping through the house.
Yeah, I remember watching that. I loved that era when they would have actual Disney movies with the Disney characters like Mickey and Goofy and stuff.
The core members.
Yeah, the core members. Yeah, like, what was it? The Three Musketeers or whatever it was called.
Yeah, and Prince and the Pauper is my favorite, personally.
Yeah, I missed that era. That was fun. But yeah, they were perfectly fine. They got struck by lightning. There was fire on the bed that burned a hole into it. It was crazy.
Yikes. Yikes. So it's a full-blown documented story, eh?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Shortly after that, she was shocked while plugging a refrigerator into a faulty outlet as well.
See, I need to get a hold of her. Maybe she can fix the outlet in my garage because my grass has been dead for a while now, all summer, because the outlet to my sprinkler box just isn't working and I've been too lazy to try to see if I could fix it. So if anybody out there has been struck by lightning, by all means, swing by and come fix this outlet for me.
Yeah, totally. Maybe they'll earn some psychic abilities in the process. But yeah, these were the events that gave her her psychic abilities. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't harmed, so it seems like a win-win. You get to become an X-man, X-person in the process.
Yeah, and then she went on to help police solve cases with her abilities, and it was all very well documented. There are so many cases similar to hers where someone experiences some kind of trauma or accident, and then they come out of it with these amazing abilities, whether it be like speaking a different language, being able to play a new instrument out of seemingly nowhere, or developing psychic powers like Greta.
The language and instrument mastery is the most mind-blowing for sure, as far as weird, unexplained stuff directly observable in other humans.
Yeah.
For example, like the past lives and psychic stuff. It's definitely cool, don't get me wrong, but there's always that what if. What if they just happen to say the right thing by whatever means they arrived at it? Because at the end of the day, that's all it really amounts to, is saying the right thing.
Yeah.
But learning a language or an instrument, and I guess, to be fair, a language is just saying the right thing, but those are so much harder for people to dismiss as luck or coincidence. But I guess that only really works if you actually know the person.
Yeah, otherwise so many people would just say, I never spoke Spanish in my life, but God visited me in my dream last night and made me into a bilingual prophet.
So you would think Joseph Smith would be able to speak Cherokee or I digress. I love Utah. Moving on, the story about the author who heard her grandpa's voice got me thinking, just in general. We hear a lot about people encountering different types of signs from the deceased, but it seems like we aren't so sure whether or not that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Not a good thing as in the signs themselves?
I'm sure it's contextual and not some rigid thing, kind of like what we were talking about with time travel in the last episode. I just mean like sometimes the presence of a ghost or spirit might suggest that the deceased hasn't moved on, and it's seen as this unfortunate state of existence where they need our help to fully cross over.
I see what you mean. Yeah. And other times we get excited about it, like our loved ones are still looking after us from the other side and we're all just happily coexisting in some way.
Yes, thank you. That's what I was trying to get at. There's just so much gray area. It can't always be a bad thing when there's a lingering spirit somewhere. Especially with all the happy haunts we've covered, I don't think every spirit needs to be banished to the supernatural realm by do-gooder humans.
Yeah, everybody has a different purpose, and some people just need to stick around a bit longer for one reason or another.
Exactly. It can't just be some one-size-fits-all thing. And like I was saying about the do-gooder people, it's like they think they're being helpful and wholesome, kind of like feeding a bunch of stale bread to ducks. It's one of those things where maybe you're just better off staying away from the pond entirely.
Yeah, leave the ducks alone, or at least feed them something that won't make them nutritionally deficient.
I know, I feel so bad. Our parents didn't really steer us in that direction correctly.
There was this time when my wife and I were at Disneyland years and years ago when we first started dating, and we were just tossing some food to the ducks because they have the luckiest ducks in the world at Disneyland. And I think she tossed like a Dorito or something at the duck.
Oh, no.
Which, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that. But some employee came by and looked at us and he goes, please don't throw the ducks Doritos. It's the worst thing for them.
The worst?
Like in a very serious tone. It just made eye contact with us the whole time. He's like, it's the worst thing for them.
That guy's going to be in a world of pain when Disneyland's duck community gets affected by the opioid crisis.
Doritos are no longer the worst thing for the ducks.
And they never were to begin with. They were just kind of really up there.
Yeah, well, what if there isn't a gray area, though? So every spirit that makes its presence known really is in some weird state of purgatory and desperately needs help crossing over.
Yeah, that could be a really good or really bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good because we at least know what needs to happen. And lots of people are sad about never receiving a sign from a dead relative or whoever, but that could be a good thing. Maybe you haven't heard from the person you want to because they're fully resting at peace, patiently waiting for you to join them.
Yeah, that's an optimistic way of looking at it. As much as I'd love to hear my grandpa ramble on about baseball again, I can at least be happy knowing that he's at rest.
Exactly. And I feel like there's some sort of wholesome Angels in the Outfield reference to be made here, but I'll spare you from that.
That movie was pretty decent, actually. I watched it recently. It not bad for coming out from the shadows of The Sandlot, either.
I know, right? It came out, like, the following year. I'm actually walking distance from Small's house. We can pencil that onto our list when you come out to Utah.
Oh, yeah, I'll be out there in September.
All right, we got to do it. But yeah, the good old 90s, the last decade where people still pretended to like baseball.
Yeah, yep. Baseball is like that one band where all your friends are just like, I know their songs just sound like noise, but trust me, you gotta see them live.
As a very casual baseball fan and diehard Lightning Bolt fan, I don't know how I feel about that analogy, but I don't disagree. Not even a little bit. That's very fair.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that. Analogies aside, though, we were talking about whether or not all lingering spirits need help crossing over, and
that's
whether
right.
or not that would be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, I mentioned the good, but I honestly don't remember where I was going with the bad. So just help me out and finish my thought, if you will.
Okay, I guess the bad part of that is just the obvious. There are a lot of spirits out there, and it could be us someday.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. And that would mean all the things we've considered to be happy haunts have actually been cries for help. That puts a dark twist on things.
Or even trickster spirits who, for whatever reason, couldn't make it to the spirit realm. So they disguised themselves to get our assistance, like the little rascals in the trench coats.
Whether it's getting a bank loan or sneaking past the pearly gates, the trench coat is always worth a shot.
Yeah, we won't really know how it all works until it's our time, I guess.
Yeah, it's fun to speculate, and there's definitely no rush. Oh, we should put up a poll and see what the listeners think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, people listening on Spotify can, like, vote and leave comments. We'll put something up and see what the consensus is.
And you're free to leave a rating while you're there. I'm not asking you to, just saying you have the freedom to do so.
Yeah. You almost sound like that old orientation tape from the Church of Scientology.
Where he's like, you have the option to walk out of the door, but you could also shoot yourself or something like that. So ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Keep your options open, people, but stay safe.
That's right. Only a Sith deals in absolutes. Peace out.
Yep, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you check out our Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/oddtrails. If you sign up, you'll get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. And make sure to send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show. Finally, check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Everybody, again, stay safe.
Peace out.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.